To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous, hilarious, and talented, and very intellectual Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, I thank you, Ronnie. I don't know about the intellectualism. It depends on the time of the day and the day of the week and the week of the month and the month of the year.
No, I always learn a new word or two in my time with you.
I wish I had a new word to give you right now, but I think all I can say is like burp.
That works. It's never used burp in that context. So today we are talking about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, before we get into this, we're doing a live show May 9th at the Hollywood Improv in the lab. And tickets will be going up this week. So if you want tickets for that, check our Twitter or our Facebook. Twitter's at What Crappens. And our Facebook, just search for Watch What Crappens on Facebook. You'll find us. We'll announce it both those places and here. But, you know, just to get the word out.
Yeah, but know that there are tickets this time. Last year when we did it, it was sort of like you could just show up. But it's sort of a different arrangement this time around. So if you want to go and make sure you can go, you should buy a ticket once they become available.
Yeah, buy your ticket.
Buy your ticket.
So, Ben, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills,
Actually, one other thing before we do Beverly Hills. It's at Wednesday, which is normally when we do our listener spotlight thing. But I have not received any of the listener spotlight audio files from our Patreon subscribers. So if you do subscribe to the Listener Spotlight and you haven't done one yet, if you haven't been called upon yet, check your Patreon messages or whatever you know email you use for that, because you may have missed an email from us saying, hey, send us your thing, or maybe you were gonna send us something and you forgot. Because we don't have anything for this week. So
send us things. It's important, you guys.
And if we don't hear from anyone, then we're going to loop back to the people we've already heard from. And we're going to ask them things. But I think we have some new people. So just wanted to put that out there. If you subscribe at that level, just double check your messages every now and then. Because we may have reached out to you.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
Seriously, what's the matter? What's going on?
What's the matter? Like, are you gonna give us back like a bunny? Like, what's happening?
You know, Real Housewives of New York has only been back 2 weeks, and I already want to strangle Bethany's voice on Watch What Crappens.
What's the matter? Like, literally, like coming now. Like, if I have to hear my voice again, like, I'll be dead on the floor. I'll be crying, and I just want to drown myself in my tears. Like, literally, my walls are up, and I'm down, and I'm boxed in.
Literally, what's the matter? What's happening? Okay, so...
But this is Beverly Hills Day, everyone.
This is Beverly Hills, where the only accent that's going to make us want to kill ourselves is also the one that brings us so much joy. Dreet Kinsley! I had no idea I offended you. I thought we were having a good gay old time like an England girl.
Erica, if I knew I would be embarrassing you, I never would have done that, Erica. It's what you are. You're embarrassingly embarrassed. I never would have done that, Erica.
Because Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is good at picking a topic and writing it into the ground over a season, we ended the last reunion episode with talk of Erica's vagina And we open the season episode with talk of Erica's vagina. It's like, oh, yes. Good. Glad we're talking about this some more.
Yeah. PK was clarifying for the 15th time. Erica, I saw your fuzzy muffin once, and I never looked again.
Yeah, the first question.
I just want you to know, Erica.
The first question by Andy. PK, did you see Erica's vagina? It's like, oh, Andy, come on.
I thought Boy George had put his hat down there and turned it inside out, and that's what I was looking at. I thought, boy, I found your hat. And I realized it's a vagina, and I never looked again.
It's like the first time I saw Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street. I was terrified. Then I realized it was a gaping woman cave, and I backed away slowly. She's like, and actually he said, all I said was that your woman parts are out for the world to see. And she goes, oh yeah, well I'm a whore. Erica's taken this to the nth degree, okay? Everything, yeah. PK says, she's like, oh, I guess I'm just a $2 hooker on a street nobody goes on to, huh, PK?
I couldn't tell if she was playing it up to ensure another season for herself or if this was touching on some deep nerve, because she really was going crazy. And she was like, you know, the thing that bothered me the most about PK was when he said that I was for sale. And he's like,
your last song was called Expensive. What the fuck? Like, your last label literally had dollar signs in the title. What the fuck do you want people to think, Erica? It's like a Dollar Tree getting mad that people are bringing dollar bills into the store. It's a Dollar Tree.
You know, Erica, we like you, but you can't have a song about not giving fucks and a song about expensive and then go around giving fucks that someone thinks you have a price tag.
But I don't. Did he even say she was for sale? Because at this point, she's just coming up with things that were never said.
He in his joking, he was like, he said maybe she's putting it out there to you know to show her the he made some sort of elliptical reference to it. He didn't say she's a whore or that, but you know he was you know we all saw the scene. It was icky and gross, and he was making tasteless jokes, and one of them suggested that you know she was putting her goods out there for the world to you know bid on or something. But I, as gross as he is, even I don't think he was saying that she was a whore. You know,
I'm expensive.
So then he PK starts saying things like, you know, it's very. I feel like I'm gonna go into Australian here, but
it's
whatever.
All right. We'll it's PK. It's
dive
PK.
Right in.
Yeah, it's allowed.
He's like, you know, it's very hard when you've been accused of something that you know is false, and you know, being accused of calling her a whore, and she's like, oh, what about me? You're calling me a whore. But I did like that he was pinning himself as the victim. I'm like, no, you guys could have avoided this by not having this disgusting conversation on camera.
Then
Lisa Vanderpump chimes in and she's like, Erica, you need a sense of humor. And then
she said, if you'd had a sense of humor from the start. I was like, oh no. And then Andy goes, Erica goes, I'm over it. And Andy says, but you weren't over it. She goes, it's because I didn't hear it. It's like, what the, oh my God.
So actually, this was actually an important moment because we learned that when Erica says that she's over it, she means that she doesn't want to hear it anymore. But it doesn't mean that she is emotionally over it. And I think that's the crux of this problem here, is that when she was saying, I'm over it all season long, it means like, I don't want to hear it. Doesn't mean that she is feeling any sort of resolution. And I think that's where all the problems began.
She has a different language.
I think she's a fucking robot. And the gays were like, girl, if you want to keep your job, you need to be more entertaining. So cry about something and fight about something. And no matter what, just stick to it. She's like, all right, boys, what is it? My vagina? I'm in. My vagina. Remember when you called me a whore? Remember when you told me my vagina spread a cold to your babies? Remember when my vagina tried to strangle your nannies? Ha, PK? I'm like, okay, drop it, Erica. You're going a little too far. Yeah. This isn't like long-form improv where you just put your vagina in different creative situations.
She's really monologuing, isn't she? Yeah. So then Vanderpump, the question is, are you still mad about being called a sniper by Erica last season? And she's like, no, not true at all. I'm not mad at all. And Erica's like,
I think she enjoyed every single moment of Pandagate. I think she was laughing her way all the way to town, like one of the three little piggies. That's what I think.
She loved every minute of it. It's like PK in a bowl of SpaghettiOs. There's not one letter he hates. Every little letter swallowed down that gullet before he burps out, whore! Offended my entire neighborhood.
So then Kyle says something, which I think is true, where she says the problem is that Erica wasn't in on the joke. You know, when all the stuff with the, oh, I got you some panties for your pretty little puss. I think the problem, and I agree, is that Erica wasn't in on the joke, and that's why she feels some sort of way.
But it was funny, darling.
Lisa Vanderpump. I'm like, you can groan louder, but it's not going to help. Stop saying it's funny.
It was like the anti-Yulin. So, so funny.
I think the editors are on her side on this one, though, because she goes, when I met you, I thought you were so comfortable with your nudity. And then it cuts to Erica, like, trying, totally, completely naked, trying to fit into that dress in one of her first scenes. Yeah. And then rubbing her chodes, you know, like, doing everything.
That's true.
Making everything about her body. And Kyle's like, yeah, but she wasn't in on this joke. Well, she's not in on the other jokes either. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, but I do think that there's a difference. It's one thing to be comfortable with nudity. It's another thing if... I don't think she was bothered that they saw her vagina. That's the thing. It's not about that. And to say, well, you're comfortable nudity, so you should be okay with
using her. Yeah, it's about making fun of her. Like making, it's about the fact that they were joke, like, you know.
Yeah, that they not only, like, it was, she wasn't aware, and it's sort of, it was embarrassing. Like she said, at the end of the day, it's just embarrassing. It's not about that her vagina was out. It's that her vagina was out to a married man, and like she's married, and this guy was just like staring at it, and then they were talking about it, and then Dorit's going around telling everyone, like, oh, did you see she was flashing everyone, and here's some panties, we can have a good laugh about it. It's like, it's at the end of the day, it's just embarrassing.
I know, I understand. And if we hadn't had five scenes of apologies, I would be totally behind her with this. But, now that she's like righteously, now that she's righteously angry, and then we get cuts of the things where she's like, where they're at lunch, and Eileen's like, is everybody making up now? Are we all friends? Can we get past this ever? Can we get past the fact that Dorit mentioned vagina or whatever? And she's like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a vagina, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She was like totally nonchalant. Then they had the other lunch where they both in unison said, I'm over it or whatever. It's like,
well,
okay.
I think the apology at the finale, I think that was when Dorit truly understood, or at least she expressed like true remorse, and I felt like Erica heard it, and Erica was also able to hear it, and I felt like at that moment finally it's been put to bed. And I do agree that even though, you know, Erica has a right to be embarrassed about everything that happened, and that they were, PK and Dorit were gross about it, I do agree that Erica was, you know, taking a bone and running with it. Is that that's not even an expression. I don't care.
I'm sure, like, it's not the first time someone's used that expression with Erica. You know, it probably wasn't an actual expression. Like, girls have probably been like, that bitch came right up on my corner and stole my bone.
Well, it's interesting because Erica is like cool as a cucumber all the time. But like, it's almost like once she becomes, like, once someone taps her emotions, like whether it was Eileen at the restaurant or at this reunion, she, like, they come out and they can't stop, and she gets sort of righteous about it. And it's weird. I wonder if that's a function of just being like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck until she does. And then it's like, she can't stop giving fucks.
Yeah. If I'm
something
gonna,
for the psychiatrist to look at.
If I'm going to eat a pie labeled as zero fucks and I look at the ingredients and there's fucks in it, I'm going to be pissed. I don't buy that pie. I want to get behind the pie that has zero fucks, okay? Stop trying to trick me and get zero fucks.
What about a pie that has zero fucks, but the crust has a fuck? Do you just peel the crust off?
The crust is part of the pie, okay?
I don't know. I just watched Great British Baking Show yesterday where there was a pie episode, and there's a lot of custard issues, and I feel like maybe that's a good metaphor on some level.
Well, you know what? It's more entertaining than 2 hours of Erica's vag. So let's move it forward here. But we can't
to say we can't because there's still stuff to discuss. So Kyle, someone was basically like, Kyle, if you thought that this was a bad idea, like the panty thing was a bad idea, why didn't you stop Dorit from buying the panties? So Kyle was totally busted. And Kyle was like, no, I said it was a bad idea. And then we see a clip of Kyle and Dorit shopping. And Dorit's like, oh, I'm going to get the panties. It'd be hilarious. And Kyle's like, ha, 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 ha. And then she tells us, Dorit, this might not go over so well. And that's different.
It's yeah, confessionals don't count, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Confessionals don't count.
Yeah, she's like, I thought to, you know, remove myself from any wrongdoing in the confessional. Why are you yelling at me?
And then Vanderpump's like, Kyle, you were laughing because you have a good sense of humor. And Kyle's like, don't do that to me, Lisa. Don't tell me what I was. Don't tell me that I thought it was funny.
Did Andy ask me the question or did he ask you? Because you're always stealing my questions. So just stop that. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then Vanderpump is still going like,
but darling, funny, humorous, hilarious.
She's like, shut up, Lisa. Stop it.
But funny, right? Shut up. Funny ha-ha or funny no-no. I mean, both are still funny, right?
Vanderpump just won't quit.
So then there's a question about how did Erica explain Pantygate to Tom? And she's like, well...
Hilariously! Like a knock-knock joke, darling.
Tears out of my eyes, laughing on the floor.
I knew Benny Hill, and he was never this hilarious. Congratulations, Erica. Your vagina should win an Emmy.
Better than anything I've ever seen Eric Idle do, that's for sure.
So, Erica says...
Well, I just didn't bring it up to him. I just didn't think to bring it up. I just didn't come up. I just have.
And she basically told Tom right before the season began. And I thought, you know, that's weird. There's something... I don't mind an age difference. And in fact, I always kind of defended Erica when she would say things like, oh, he runs the house or whatever. But I think that's genuinely weird that this shit is happening and you don't even like vent to your husband about it. Like, or it doesn't have to be a husband, like your partner in life.
Well, she did. She vented to Mikey. I mean, look, the guy's 90 or something, and we didn't get to see him much this season. I mean, we got to see them eat alone in a restaurant, sadly, once, or we saw her give her a painting that he wanted for her birthday, but we haven't really seen much of him. But don't forget that Tom is the originator of, go to your room, Erica! I mean, he's like a dad whose kids should have moved out of the house, but they're still living there. And he's like, God, I don't want to listen to your lady drama. Just shut up and get me a TV dinner.
But, you know, that's important in life. You know, I can't tell how many times I have been like nattering on to my boyfriend about like, you know what? And then this person cut me off in traffic. It's like, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with him? And my boyfriend would just like nod and he'll be like, you probably need something to eat. I'm like, I do. And then it's fixed. Like sometimes you need to have someone like that to kind of give you some perspective. You can both vent and get perspective. And then, you know, and if Erica's not getting that, or if she's only getting it from Mikey, who's not going to give her perspective, he's just going to be like, yes, bitch! You know?
Yeah, that'll crow. Get her, bitch!
It's just going to fester. And I'm not saying that, again, I think I'm on Erica's side in Pantygate, but the way that these things are just like exploding out of her, maybe she needs to vent to Tom a little bit more.
She's a little unhinged, but she has taught us one thing. If you're going to marry someone that's completely incompatible for you, just make sure they're rich enough to hire you a real friend. Because, you know, at least he did get her a good lady sitter because Mikey really, you know, I mean, he makes her look ridiculous and has fun doing it. And he stands behind everything she says. And you know what? If you need to pay somebody to do that, more power to you, sister.
That's true. The other thing we learned from Erica is that you can draw an entire psychological profile of a relationship based on a few lines at a reunion. So that's good, too. Thank you, Erica. Thank you for letting me totally figure everything out.
Well, I figured her entire relationship out with one line. Go to your room, Erica. It's like my favorite line ever. I was sad when Don Rickles died last week because I felt like Tom died. And that's my favorite line of Housewives history. Except for, know that.
Know that. So then the question is about Rinna. Why did you say, or what were you thinking when you asked Dorit if she trusted PK, and is that the reason why Dorit is obsessed with the Pantygate situation? And PK was like, oh, it didn't bother me. You know, Rinna, she sort of says what she says, and then she owns it and moves on. Water off a duck's back, you know? Didn't bother me at all.
Water off a duck's back. Lisa's like, are they broken ducks? Do they need mummies? And Rinna sis, I'm Britta's sorry. Like, but in the moment when we were still talking about it, she kind of like half apologizes. And then Andy says, well, has PK apologized to Tom, Erica? Because you asked him to. And Erica's like,
well, you know, I asked him to. But in that moment, I wanted a lot of shit. I was just sad. Yeah. I was just asking for lots of stuff.
And then PK's like, I don't owe an apology to Tom. I owe it to Erica. I did something to Erica. I owe her an apology. I don't owe anything to Tom. And she's like, yes, I do. I'm like, okay, so which one is it, Erica? Is it like you said a lot of stuff, whatever? And actually what PK was doing, believe it or not, was very I feel like it was very feminist, because he's basically saying you are your own woman and I don't have to apologize to you, like your master or something like that, you know? So it was, in a weird way, it was feminist. I don't know.
I don't know. I think you can't get feminist with people like Erica. Like,
I feel like I just have to back away from this.
Yeah.
Just back away. I don't like casting PK in a nice light.
Yeah. And Erica is a feminist. I just think there are like better people to use that argument on.
She's like, I'm a feminist. Here's my vagina. It costs a lot of money. Let's make a song out of it to GarageBand loops with people my husband paid for.
It's like, not feminism. But PK still is gross, and you can never be on his side because he always follows it up with something disgusting, you know? And I get that fighting with her, especially because Dorit pointed out, you brought him into the discussion, Iricus! How could he not then see ya? Well, he was circling you like a fat orca, first of all. That's why she reeled him in. But yes, she did. But, you know, it's just chivalrous to call and say, I got in a fight with your wife. I'm real embarrassed about it. Sorry, old chap. And Tom would have been like, yeah, I get in a fight with her all the time. Just keep her in a cage. She'll be okay. Tell her to go back to her crate.
It would have shown a lot of character. I will say that if you said it. It would have been considerate. I'm just saying, you know, just the feminist thing. I was like, technically, you know, if you're going to be like your own woman, then that's fine, you know. But I agree, though. I think it would have shown a lot more character and chivalry if he had reached out to Tom in some way and said, I made a tasteless joke. I apologize to both of you, and et cetera.
Yeah, but if he did that, he wouldn't be PK. So instead, PK decides that he's going to be the martyr of this whole thing. And he's like, you know, I was so punished for that joke on social media. And since that joke, I've listened to Rinna call me a pervert. Eileen call me a creep. And Erica goes, but I'm a whore. And he goes, that's not what I said. You know.
She's like, no, I'm just talking about my new song. It's called, But I'm a Whore.
But instead of an R, there's a hashtag and a dollar sign.
A horse, darling. A broken horse.
Now, Lisa, shut up. Stop talking about it.
So he's like, well, I feel. She's like,
I don't care about your feelings.
She's like, I just made a bad joke, whatever. Yeah. So then the next question is from like Marina in Methuselah or whatever. And it's like, Marina wants to know,
Pennsylvania.
PK, you told Dorit that Erica should work on her deep rooted issues. And he's like, I don't remember saying that. And then Rinna goes,
oh, yeah, baby. Oh, that's great. Another one who doesn't remember. Oh, that's great, baby.
I'm like, did you forget that you were the originator? Well, you weren't the originator, but you were the original jumper honor of that storyline. Come on now, Rinna.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She's like, who doesn't remember things? They're like, actually, you had like 10 scenes of that. She's like, oh, I forgot. I don't remember.
Well,
sorry.
Well, then Dorit was like laughing, like, oh, that's rich. That's rich. Rinna doesn't remember. And then Rinna's like, you were the first one to not remember. So. And also somewhere in the middle here, when PK is talking about PK is just talking about something. And then Erica's like, oh, PK, are you going to hold a diamond next season? Are you going to hold a diamond? I don't give a fuck.
Should we give him a diamond to hold, ladies? Should we? You going to have a diamond, PK?
Yeah, I think that's when Dorit was like, you were the one who brought him into the situation. But you know what? He did it to himself. He filmed multiple scenes talking about that vag and trying to make Dorit go after it. If I feel for anybody, it's Dorit, because she really is an idiot. And she's just led around by, you know, horrible people, kind of, you know?
Yeah. I think that's true. Yeah. So then we get to the coke accusation time. Where are they doing coke at the dinner party? And and so somehow, so they're like, how could Rinna bring that up? And Rinna's basically saying, well, look, you know, you brought up drugs, and I'm just being honest, baby. And, you know, if you're going to ask if I'm doing Xanax, I'm going to ask if you're doing coke, baby. And
if I'm doing legal drugs, I'm going to accuse you of doing illegal drugs where your kids are upstairs. Baby, it's totally fair, baby.
And then they start talking about Xanax. They're just, I don't remember what they were saying, but they get totally sidetracked. Enough where Andy goes, guys, let's talk about the Coke, guys. It's like, that's a pinnacle on TV broadcasting.
Guys, stick to cocaine. I like when PK said, I loved Rinna. She came to dinner at our home. I monologued about how awful she was to Vanderpump. And then we had a great time. And when she left, I said, why would anyone have a problem with Rinna? She's fab. And then you totally turned it. And let's see. Dorit says, oh, wait, this is when Erica goes, you got to hold a diamond, PK. You want a diamond right now? And Dorit goes, I don't think he should be here any more than any of you should. It's like, you are so stupid. What does that even mean, that sentence?
I don't know. I just read it off a label of that baking powder.
He has as much right as anyone on the street to be a part of this reunion. Okay. So Rinna says, oh yeah, then it's the memory thing. One thing you remembered, he's like, in a season of not remembering things, Rinna did remember cocaine. Yeah, honest, Xanax, blah, blah, blah. Let's stick with the Coke. And then Dorit's like, and then you leveled those accusations, those preposterous accusations. And PK goes, honestly, I've never done Coke in my entire life.
Please.
Please, girl.
And I love Vanderpump that, you know, she's jumping. She's loving this. People going after Rinna. So she's, you know, anytime someone says, like, you know, Rinna, you made such a terrible accusation. Vanderpump's like, that's still very damaging, Rinna. Very damaging.
It's not about drug use. It's about talking about drug use. You know, it's the same Kim Richards storyline over and over again. And then Rinna does the classic Rinna backtrack where she goes,
yeah.
I didn't ask you if you were doing coke. I asked if your guests were doing coke in your bathroom. It's totally different. I don't even see how this caused a problem, baby. So good.
Yeah. So then, and then Rinna starts grilling PK for his comments with Ken at the finale party about Erica's hoo-ha, where she's like, that was disgusting, baby. How disgusting, baby.
Those are the most heinous things I've ever heard, baby. And then they just show Vanderpump cracking up.
Yeah.
And PK, I like when PK, I'm not sure if this is in the segment or not. The note is close though, so sorry if I go too off course, but I like
it's okay,
when PK,
I can't keep track either.
PK gave us this bit of advice. Rinna, you don't have to be honest if it's not factual. It's like, what does that even mean? It's like just not being honest. And then Rinna goes, oh, well, you're not factual either, baby. What is this argument? No one even knows what this is anymore.
So, I honestly can't keep track. That's why I'm like, I'm not sure if I jumped forward or if I went backward. I just know this is stuff was said around this time. So I'll just say it.
Yeah. So PK says, I'll answer that question about talking naughty or being rude about the women after I left. I'll answer that. And then Vanderpump goes, like if she's defending any serial killer. You were being naughty, PK. It's like that's what she chalks everything up to. You were being naughty, darling. Charles Manson didn't mean for those people to die. He was being naughty, darling.
And PK, like in his mind, is like crossing off what he was prepared to say. He's like, okay, got it. Over and out. We were being naughty. That's all. We were being naughty. 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 Janet Jackson, naughty.
And Erica goes, it's about respect. I was like, can we move on? And then now PK is making Dorit the victim. He's like, my wife was beyond distraught. She goes, why is she beyond distraught?
Yeah,
the show. Oh my God.
And then Rinna, I actually liked what Rinna said when she was like, you know, you could say that stuff, baby, and you're just being naughty. But I say something and I'm schizo, paranoid, drug addled, induced, crazy lady, bad influence, bird breaker, baby.
Baby murdering, serial killing, cocaine snorting, schizo, nutcase, multiple personality, get out, whatever.
And Eileen they just keep cutting to Eileen, who's like about to say something and doesn't, or rolling her eyes. And she just looks like she's about to either explode or just like have massive diarrhea. Well, that Mexico bug still in me a little bit.
Eileen has been a working actress for so long that she's just got the classy aspect together, where she's not going to let herself look stupid on TV. She's not going to let her do this stuff. And she fights stealth, you know. And we see it later in the episode, which we'll get to. I just wanted to drop that little nugget now because it's my Eileen theory and I love it.
Yes. So then I think is this around when they start talking about the inherently cowed versus deliberately cowed argument?
Oh, God, yes. And I think this is the end of the PK segment. Thank Jesus.
It is. Because Erica flips out again and goes,
"You're going to tell me I'm not nice? You're going to tell me I'm not nice? Get the fuck out of here."
Which is inherently not nice, by the way, to say that.
Yeah. And Andy goes, "You know what? Let's let PK off the hook." And she goes,
"Oh, yeah, let him off the stage."
Yeah. And he's like, "That's not nice, Erica."
"I'm not nice. Get the fuck out of here."
And when she said, "Get the fuck out of here," you know, I love that. I had to make a gif of it because I still say it a lot, but I used to say it for every little thing, like to the point where people were like, "Please stop saying that." I would just be like, "Get the fuck out of here." To hear Erica say it, I was like, "You know what? You're really winning me over, Ms. Jane. You're really winning me over."
Well, it's something that needed to be said to PK. It really was.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was something that needed to be said to PK, and it was something that needed to be turned into a meme gif for me to own in my text arsenal.
Good for you. Good for
you. So there you go, Ben.
Guys, are you guys comedy nerds just like we are? So you should rejoice if that's the case. Rejoice, fellow comedy nerds.
Rejoice.
Rejoice, darling. Because guess what? CISO, we're here to talk about CISO. Nothing is funnier than Dorit's golden hair, but CISO comes pretty close because it has the comedy that you crave from your favorite comedians. You can watch Paul F. Tompkins, Dan Harmon, Wyatt Cenac, Jonah Ray, the UCB Four, which is Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, and Matt Walsh, in lots of hilarious knee-slapping CISO original series, y'all.
Yeah, it's not every day you find three grown men, one woman, and a random guest playing a fantasy role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder on television. Even more special, it's Dan Harmon, who created Community and Rick and Morty. It's also half animated, half live action, and only available on CISO.
That's Harmon Quest, what Ronnie's talking about. The point is this. We know everyone who listens to Crappens loves comedy. I mean, we're literally sitting here recapping a rosé party with one woman who has gold shit on her head and Eden Sassoon, okay? Mm-hmm. So we know everyone likes a good laugh. So just go to CISO and you get more good laughs. Even
for
gooder
cheap
laughs.
Too, you guys. I mean, yeah, it's original comedy content. It's a whole channel full of content for just $3.99 a month. We love CISO.
Yeah, CISO is the new home for all your favorite comedy. There's Britcoms, stand-up specials, bingeable classics, and more. It's all on demand. It's all ad-free. Darling!
I personally have become re-obsessed with Kids in the Hall. I loved it growing up, and it is amazing seeing it again. That's the first thing that got me addicted to the Comedy Channel back in the day when cable came out.
Yeah.
Because I'm old.
Yeah. No, it's I told a story a few weeks ago about how, you know, I found the very first episode of SNL that I ever watched as a child, as a youngster, impressionable young broken bird. And it's there on CISO. It's kind of crazy. You can actually watch the content anywhere, anytime, using iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Windows, Xbox One. And you know what? $3.99 per month. That's basically a latte.
Less.
And I know we all are drinking lattes.
It's way less than a latte, okay? I paid $5.05 for mine today.
Oh, you could have had 1.5 months of CISO.
No shit. I didn't even laugh during my latte. Like, I didn't even laugh while I was drinking my 2-pump no ice mocha. So, whatever. Fuck
my latte
Starbucks.
Wasn't even half animated.
With CISO,
literally?
With CISO, you literally get unlimited access to CISO original series, next day late night, hilarious stand-up specials, and binge-worthy classics, including 42 seasons of Saturday Night Live and the entire Monty Python catalog, the IT Crowd, and much more.
All right, so just go to SEESO.com right now. Sign up for 1 month free with promo code Crappens. At checkout.
It's the best offer CISO has going right now. 1 month for free of laughing your ass off comedy at CISO just by using your promo code Crappens.
Oh, you pretty little puss. Let's go to CISO.com, but SEESO.com. Leave out the PK. That's just my husband.
promo code Crappens.
Crappens. Lock the golden goose did on me head.
A PK. Golden Goose, Crappin's on my head, and now I'm using it to get cheap CISO.
CISO.com, promo code Crappin's.
There you go, baby. So then after the commercial break, we have a clip package about saying hello in Beverly Hills. And it's like, hi, hi, hi. Oh, you look great. You look great. I love that healing. You look great. You look great. You look great.
That was a really long kiss montage. And Andy says, God, it's just so funny to me because you see each other all the time and you act like you haven't seen each other in months. And Eric is like, yeah, it's because we're in LA and we're fake as shit.
Which is true. Although I contend that people say hello like that on all the Real Housewives shows.
They do, but it is worse here. And Rinna is the biggest Beverly
she
Hills
is
hello.
The biggest hello person. Oh, look,
that's,
look, even
that's
Bueller's
a Bueller hello.
It.
Yeah, that's the Bueller yeah. hello. That's Bueller's yeah. way of saying, hi, Kim, how are you?
I don't know how Rinna walks down a sidewalk, because I just imagine she does it to everyone. Hi, how are you? No, we don't know each other, but I just want to say hi. And how are you? How are you?
Thank you so much for being on this sidewalk today. What a walk. Oh my God, I just stepped on a crack. I guess I'm a crack addict now, huh, Dorit? I'm writing that one down.
How are you? You're just talking to a poster in a bus shelter now.
Oh, I thought that was Reese Witherspoon. Wah, 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 wah.
Hi, mailman. Hi, mailbox. Hi, letters. Hi, stamps.
Her favorite book is Goodnight Moon.
Goodnight Moon. Goodnight Stars. Goodnight Wall.
What was that show
Goodnight
that
carpet.
Ended with Goodnight Ma? Goodnight Son. Goodnight Pa. Goodnight. There's some classic show that ended like that. It would never end. The whole show would be Rinna being like, good night, Mom. I love you. You're so great. Is that a new jacket? It looks great on you. Oh, I wish I could look that good in jackets, Ma. They'd be like, lights out.
Rinna never has more of an existential crisis as when she calls a helpline and they ask if she wants to speak in English or Spanish. She's like, I want to talk to both, baby. Habla everyone.
Can I speak in universal? Can I speak in love hand signs and pounds on my chest? That
She's
person.
Like, I've been on the phone with Cablevision for 3 hours, but to be fair, I wasn't going to hang up until I pressed every number on the menu. Have I gotten to this branch of the telephone? No.
So Andy's like, well, we're used to seeing busy, busy housewives. I was like, no, we're not. But these housewives are some of the busiest. Rinna goes to QVC. Erica's an actor on a soap opera. It's like a 5-second scene. Yeah. And she tours the world with music not about her vagina. So let's not get upset again, guys.
Yeah.
She even played Christina's birthday party. She's like, yeah, it was lovely to be asked. Just a joy to be nominated to play at Christina Aguilera's birthday party.
I never saw her so happy as when she heard my singing voice and reflected upon her own.
That woman's been patting the puss for so long, she's punching it at this point. She's a real pioneer, that one.
She said something about every time I feel bad about the state of my recording career, I just invite Erica Jane over and laugh all night. It was a great moment for all of us. I don't give a fuck.
I'll give a fuck.
So Andy asks Rinna, he's like, well, Aileen from Akron wants to know.
Aileen? Aileen?
Aileen, too, from Akron, wants to know why Kyle's such a stupid whore. No, he's like, why did you say that Harry Hamlin will never have to work again? And she's like, I just want to make it clear. They said that Harry will never have to take a crappy acting job again. Not that he'll never have to work, because he loves to work. He's an amazing actor.
I felt bad because when I was walking down to Starbucks today, someone had left a flyer for headshots. It was like on the sidewalk and had been stepped on a million times. And there was like, you know those flyers where there's like four random people, like their headshots where they're sort of smiling at the camera with like their knuckle under their chin. And then one of the pictures was Harry Hamlin. And I was like, oh, why is Harry Hamlin on this flyer? Why is his legacy this right now? This is not right.
I guess they came under in the duster sale. But also, was it young Harry or old Harry?
Old Harry.
Oh,
actually, it was like middle-aged Harry.
Because he probably just got his head, like sometimes if you get your headshots, those photographers will dig that shit up from somewhere and be like, look, Harry Hamlin came here.
Either way, we learned that.
Do you like
Kyle
that it's
now...
Lisa Rinna, the headshot photographer? I want you to give me this pose, baby. How are you? Say it with your eyes, baby. When they talked about Erica's soap opera career, and he's like, you know, Erica, you mentioned that you were named after Erica Kane. Your mother must be really proud that you were on a soap. And she goes, oh, yeah, my mom was so excited. She used to love Erica Kane. I'm like, did she die? Did Erica Kane die? Stop talking about Erica Kane in the past tense, okay?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I also liked when they talked about Dorit, you know, and they're like, so Dorit, like you've been busy. You've been doing working business lady things. And she's like, oh, well, we have a few different businesses. And she's like, talent managing, sports tech, and a swimwear line. I'm like, how do these things work together? How is this? This doesn't seem to make sense right now.
Yeah. She's like, well, I know how to garden. I know how to shock nannies into submission. I know how to get Boy George to get out of bed a little bit late, but he eventually does. Did I mention Boy George? Now there's a man with a job. It's like, shut up. No one is buying any of this shit. And then
literally no one is buying it. Literally no one's buying what you're making. She's like, we make Scrabble cozies. It's a little knitted thing you can put on your Scrabble board.
We've invented a little tiny horn. Whenever someone gets a triple word score on Scrabble, it honks.
We designed a special cloche you could put over the board so that way you could say, ta-da, there's Scrabble under here.
We've invented the largest line of bathrooms for an entire party of people to fit in for the cocaine usage.
With a special table inside that they can play Coke Scrabble on. What you do is you draw a line of Coke under a word and you snort it and go triple word score.
Triple bloody nose score. I like that Eileen's side of the couch. Eileen's like, well, I haven't said anything nice, so I'll start. I went on your website to read, and your bathing suits were super cute. Well, thanks, Eileen. Thanks for chiming in. And Erica goes, yeah, they're cute. You should do it more. Don't let it go. You built something, girl. Okay, so now you're happily on Dorit's side. The show is giving me a fucking headache already.
So then, to up the ante, when we come back from commercial, I believe, now we have a double whammy. Kim Richards and Eden Sassoon are both on the couches. So we know we're in for some real fun.
And he's like, guys, we only had one segment donated to the alcoholics in the group. So we're just having you both on at a time. Consider it a meeting. Get through this and you get a chip.
I forgot that that's like a thing at AA. I was like, a chip like a Pringle?
That would be Kim. I love chips! So he starts with Kim. He says, Kim, how's your baby/dog? And she's like, oh my God, it's a baby that's a dog. I love him. I tell him, King Hux, get up here, roll over on mommy's lap. I go, Kim.
Then is it true, Kim, that you dated Donald Trump? And she's like, Kim's basically like, yeah, we went to dinner once in the 80s. And Vanderpump's like, sex? Did you have sex?
She's like, I don't want to talk about the president. She's like, are you sure you saw his winky, darling? What did it look like? Big, small, in between? Was he wearing underwear? No offense, Eric. I'm genuinely sorry I said that, darling.
And then Andy's like, Kim, you could have been our first lady. And I was like, oh my God. That would have been either a dream or the most horrifying thing. More horrifying.
It would have made as much sense as it does now, honestly. It would be a different kind of comedy, but a fun one all the same. It's like you can't, no matter what's happening in the White House, you cannot hate the First Lady because they're always really fun. Like, who doesn't like Melania? She's amazing. Like, what's Melania's thing going to be that she goes around to schools and lectures people about?
I think we're never going to get an answer to that. And I feel like Kim, in certain ways, would be the opposite of Melania because you know how, like, this Easter egg hunt that they put on belatedly on Monday was, you know, there's like, oh my God, they missed the deadline to get the eggs and this and that. There's all this controversy. Like, this is the one thing that the first lady has to do is put together the big old Easter egg hunt. You know, if Kim were in the office, if Kim were the first lady, there'd be an Easter egg hunt every single day because she constantly thinks it's Easter. You just know it. She just wakes up and goes,
He is arisen!
She'd just be walking around for the whole year finding eggs she'd hidden for herself. I found one!
She's dressed like a little girl with curls and ribbons in her hair. Like Pollyanna or something. Although I guess
listen here, Bugs. Remember when we did that film together with Emilio? God, that was fun. Good times, eh?
She just shows up in the State of the Union.
Got another egg!
Here's the State of the Union. Bugs Bunny hasn't paid AFTRA for years. And I don't blame you, Bugs. You're my hero.
But we'll have more on bunnies later. So then we have a montage of Eden hugging people.
Oh, God. Well, Eden's was the worst because Andy says, and then we also had Eden, who fucks guys on Instagram. It's like, geez, nice intro. And then, yeah, it turns into the long hug montage.
Which I loved. I was just cracking up.
It was both her best moment when her mom was like, get off of me, whatever. And it was also Kyle's best moment of the season for me when she's like, this is Eden's hug holding that little tiny dog. She's like, yeah, I love that. Still going. Still going.
And they're like, well, so Eden, why do you hug for so long? She's like, well, I just like to break the energy. I mean, I feel like if you hug for more than 6 or 7 seconds, you can really make a connection with someone. I'm like, yeah, the connection you make is that they look like you, like you're crazy, and they'll never want to touch you again.
At some point, if you hold a pillow over someone's face, they're just going to give in, you know, and go limp. And I think that's kind of what her hug is meant to do. She's like, just submit. The question is, why is Kyle uncomfortable with long hugs? And she's like, you know what? Hugs are okay, but release is also very important. Like, there's a time to, you know, press a release button.
Like, let's put it this way. Kim was hugged a lot as a child, okay? A lot of hugs.
And look what it did to her. She's great. I mean, sure, it stopped some oxygen from going to her brain, and now she needs to replace that with meth. But, you know, for the most part, she's doing really great, aren't you, Kim? Huxley, Bugs Bunny, Donald Trump, abject. Okay. So the next question is for Vanderpump. Andy says, Lisa, you and Ken knew Vidal Sassoon, but not Eden. Tell us. And she's like, well, we didn't know him well, but well enough to be invited to his fabulous parties at his home. And he would occasionally come and eat at Villa Blanca, and I felt like I had a connection with Eden because Vidal would fill out the service comment forms at the end of every dinner. And I thought that man really cares about the pasta at Villa B.
I really had a connection with Eden because I remember she would come into Villa Blanca and order 2 rounds of sticky toffee pudding. And I thought, this girl hasn't made. I also remember going to the house and there's always a little girl clinging onto my leg all night long, and I'd try to kick her off me and she would always come back, and I always thought she was just a little street urchin. Turns out it was Vidal's daughter, Eden.
She's the only child who came to Villa Blanca and didn't color on the child's menu. And I thought, there's a girl who understands a budget. Come to mama, my broken little bird. So the next question is, Eden, you acted like everything was okay when you left Vanderpump's. I was like, no, she didn't. She left stomping off. But he said,
I choose you.
I would choose you any day, Lisa Vanderpump. he says, but since then, you've been tweeting really mean stuff about Kyle. Here's some tweets. Kyle, emoji, banana. Square, flag from country no one understands, and eggplant.
Swirly emoji, that turns out it means hurricane, but no one really knows that.
You are mean. And here's another one. Kyle, mean basketball meme. And I thought, you know, no one understands these emojis she's using, but at least she knows how to fight with Kyle's own words, because Kyle's favorite word in a fight is, that is so mean!
Yeah. Yeah, because basically Eden's like, well, I'm saying these things to Kyle because she's just mean.
Yeah, that's
right. I like that.
She's
like
trying
that
to steal Kyle's hashtag. Hashtag mean.
But to be fair, I think Kyle has the upper hand in the situation because Kyle was like, you know, when I met her, I thought she seemed great. She seemed wonderful. And then she starts telling people that I'm cold. And then we go out to lunch. The first thing she starts doing is going in on Kim's drinking and asking about where the drinking happened in our family. So, yeah. I think she's a crazy bitch.
And Eden's like, what? What's wrong with any of that? Like, I'm waiting for you to get to the bad part. Yeah. And Kim goes, well, yeah, well, you know what, Eden? You didn't know me at all. You never even met me before. And Eden didn't even argue that point. Eden is a faker. She made it sound like she knew Kim from back in the day when her sister hung out with her.
Yeah. Well, Eden said something weird. She goes, you know, you said mean things at the cake tasting. I didn't even acknowledge that. I'd lost someone in my life.
You gave me nothing over my dead sister. It's like, Eden, oh my God.
I gave you everything. Didn't make sense. I didn't really understand that. Like, at what point is Kim supposed to acknowledge? I mean, it didn't make sense.
Well, the good thing about not understanding what the hell Eden's saying is that Kim doesn't either. Like, she never does. Yeah. She just Kim had so many looks in this episode that are basically like, bruh. Like, yeah. Like she's confused for a minute. She's like, was that English?
So then we have a video montage of Eden and Kim together. And the question is, why did Eden insert herself into the Rinna and Kim drama? First of all, how could anyone not insert themselves? Because it's an ongoing storm that will never be abated. But Eden said that she felt like she had to say something because she really liked Rinna a lot, and she's always looked up to Kim ever since she visited Kim on set in like 1983, you know, for like a Skittles commercial or something.
She's like, well, I'd always looked up to you. Doesn't that count? Doesn't that count? I'm like, no. I always looked up to Julia Roberts. I don't expect the bitch to hug and cry, you know, cry over me in a grocery store if I run into her. Come on.
So then,
this is Kim's thing since season one. I'm sorry, I just saw this. I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is Kim's argument since season one. She's like, you're just so close. You got to respect people's space. Because remember in season one, she's like, Kyle, I don't want to go to these group events. You know, I don't like people. What if they come too close to me? What if they touch me? I don't want to hug anyone. Promise me I don't got to hug anyone, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, it came back here because Eden was saying how she, you know, why was she saying stuff about Kim? And Eden was saying how she felt a nervousness and a distance with Kim. And Kim's like, well, if you feel a distance, why don't you step away? Which is such a bitch thing to say.
Yeah. She's like, if somebody doesn't like you, then walk away from them. I'm like, this is the same thing Kim probably said to the old lady whose face got eaten off by Kingsley, you know? Yeah. If Kingsley doesn't like you, just go away from him. Like, you're... How are you going to move? Someone had to help you down the stairs. Those two stairs. Exactly. That mile-long staircase that was two steps.
Yeah. So then I wrote down, Rinna, why did you say that stuff? I don't know what that was in regards to.
Because they showed the clip of... They cut together a super clip of Rinna being like, she's a smidge away from death's door, baby.
Oh, yeah, that.
Kim is almost dead. Kyle's her enabler. Oh my God, have you ever seen someone right before they crossed over to the other side? They're looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, and you're like, go, Kim, go! It's like, geez, Rinna. So they cut this, like, they make it even more dramatic than it was, which it was already pretty dramatic. And so Andy's like, Rinna, why did you make that super cut of craziness? And Kim goes, yeah, I guess she doesn't remember. Like, Kim, I don't think you're in any place either to throw the I don't remember sword.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably said the I don't remember thing a lot. We just didn't notice because this is the year of the amnesia.
There weren't cameras in the dollar aisle at that Target you robbed. I don't remember. I paid for it.
So Rinna, I'm actually surprised that Rinna did not get thrown into the fire more for those comments she made to Eden at that time. But ultimately, and I may be skipping over stuff, so you can always stop me if you care to, Kim basically winds up saying, oddly enough, she's like, I think that Lisa has a huge heart. You know, I get excited when I see Lisa Rinna. And Rinna's like, yeah, we made amends, baby. We made amends. And I'm like, what is happening here?
I love Kim. She's like, I'm excited to see Rinna. And she goes, own it, baby, own it. Own it. And I'm like, you go, Lisa. Like, that's like the worst impressions of Lisa I've ever heard. But I love that you're doing it.
And then Kim is like, I think they're big hopes for us. I'm like, weren't you the one like 5 minutes ago saying she lies and cries and denies and supplies and fortifies and pasteurizes?
hair dyes. Don't get me angry.
Well, I think she actually said that one to Eden. She was like, we could have been friends. We could have gone meetings together and,
yeah,
you know, like talked about how many coins we've earned up, you know, but we don't act like that in meetings, Eden. That's not what this journey to meetings is about. And Eden's like, I can talk whatever I want about on my journey in meetings or whatever. It's like a stupid fight. But then when she turned it on Rinna really made a very smart move. And yeah. Just stayed quiet and looked hurt.
Yes.
And whipped out those Days of Our Lives tears. Because...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and Housewives, mm-hmm. in Housewives history, all you have to do is become the victim. So if she just lets Kim go on and yell at her and make an ass out of herself, she can look like the victim and she'll kind of win by the end of the season.
And boy, did she have a big, goofy opportunity to do so in this episode. Thanks to Andy Cohen, who, you know... At long last, Kim Richards, for some reason, is being nice to Rinna. I was like, you know, I think we have hope. I actually get excited when I see her. So Andy's like, how can I destroy this? Hey, what happened to that bunny that I know is hidden behind that couch, Kim?
Well,
I have eyes. And I can see there's a bunny back there.
I like how she acted all excited. She's like, oh, yeah, Lisa, hold on. She reaches behind and gets it. And she's like, well, Lisa. Like she's presenting her a birthday cake. I brought a bunny back to you. And then it's just quiet on set. You can hear the lights going.
And by the way, has there ever been an uglier bunny? That bunny is so but ugly. I wouldn't want to have that either, to be honest.
That's so re-gifted from something.
Yeah, that was like something you get from a low-rent carnival. Like, was she visiting Leanne in Dallas?
Well, if you can't, you know, if you can't keep things nice, you know, if you're giving a gift to Kim Richards, it needs to be disposable.
Exactly.
Or bounce. Like, you give that girl flowers, you put it in a rubber vase. So when she throws it up against a wall, it'll bounce right off and stay intact, you know?
So Kim gives this rabbit, this bunny, back to Rinna, and she's like, it didn't feel like it had good energy. Sorry. And Rinna's like,
And I don't want to give it to my grandson because I only want to give him things with good energy. Now, if you want to come over and do the chicken dance for him, I'll do that with you. That's good energy.
Yeah, I will never forget Kim's chicken dance.
I don't remember the chicken dance, but I can just imagine it being special.
Season one or two, she goes to a grocery store. She's telling us that she went to a store.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm ready to date. Like, today I went into the grocery store and this guy was getting chicken next to me.
Yes.
He was looking at all the chicken. And I told him, yeah, I love chicken too. I'm going to do a chicken dance. A chicken dance.
That's right. That was when they were going to Palm Springs or something.
Fucking
they had like
nutcase.
A fight about chicken. So, So Kim is... It's kind of funny because I just can't tell anymore. Like, this was obviously a massively passive-aggressive move. But at the same time, part of me wonders if there was actually some sincerity behind it. Because then Kim is also trying to turn the tables on Rinna and try to make Rinna look like the crazy one by saying, when you're in a better place, you can give it back to me then. As if, like, Rinna is going through some sort of mental breakdown. And then Rinna's just, like, staring. And, you know, she's like, okay, soap actress, this is the moment you've been waiting for, baby.
She literally started, like, there was a long pause, and Rinna was making that face, and one single tear came down.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my God. That's perfection when you can perfect the art of a single tear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So good.
The single tear comes out, and she looks at Andy, like, the ultimate betrayal, the bunny coming back. And Kim's like, and now Kim is, like, trying to explain, because her gesture, it's like, this whole thing is, like, falling apart in front of her, this whole move. And she's like, I didn't feel like I was giving with the right energy. That's all. Like, you can give back what's, like, good energy, but, like, it was bad. And I'm like, don't cry. Like, don't cry. And when it's just, you know, it's like you're waiting for the Sarah McLachlan to start playing.
And Vanderpump goes, darling Rinna, she's said that there's hope for your friendship. And Eileen goes, what do you think bringing it to a reunion means? Send it in the mail.
Which is so true, by the way.
I just love when Eileen finally gets, like, bitchy and biting, because it's rare, but it's so funny when she does
it.
Good.
And then Andy goes, maybe that was bad timing for me to ask that question because you were in a good place. Huh.
Whoops.
Yeah, Andy, you think? Whoopsies.
Kyle is about to chew her finger off. She's feeling so awkward because you know that Kim has been planning this for weeks. And she was planning on Rinna just going crazy on her and screaming at her and calling her a drunk and everything else. And she didn't. But she just went ahead anyway. Like, you've got to be able to amend your plans, girl. You got to be Waze. If there's too much traffic on that road, take a different route.
Well, because Kim thought she had Rinna trapped. Because either Rinna is going to, like, laugh and be like, okay, baby, yeah, okay. And then Kim looks like she's extended the olive branch and it's a nice moment and Kim looks great. Or she thinks Rinna's going to go crazy and yell and whatever. And then Kim looks like the normal one. But instead, Rinna not only starts crying, then she finds another way to become the ultimate victim, as if this somehow matters. She's like, you know what the irony is, baby? This was Harry's idea. Harry was the one who said, you know what? Why don't you give her a bunny, baby?
He said,
a bunny and maybe a pie.
Next time Kim gets curious about what Harry Hamlin is up to in his spare time, she can ask the bunny. And I said, you're a good man, Harry Hamlin.
Sob. laugh, sob.
This bunny was used in a scene from 1988 in L.A. Law.
Harry practiced his lines with this bunny, baby.
Oh, I like what now she's full on sobbing, which, you know, any girl who's hired on Days of Our Lives knows how to do this. And I love her for it because she is just getting ugly cry down. And Eden goes, you want a crystal ball? Do you want a crystal to help you? I have one.
I thought she was joking when she said that.
I don't know. I've never heard Eden joke. So this would be either way. It was great. It was a great moment.
So then Rinna is then again just going to capitalize on this. And she's like, I need a moment. So then Rinna gets up and walks away with the bunny, you know, holding in the tears. And then Eileen goes after her. And then in the green room, Eileen's like, that was a calculated move by Kim. She's an evil person trying to demean you.
Yes. Like, now this is, I like that they kept this in and they knew that there were cameras there, obviously, because we saw a boom mic swinging in and out of the scene. So we know they were chasing him down the hall. But it's still good because I think this is how Eileen really is. You know, when she thinks that she's not being filmed or she's not going to embarrass herself, I think of her as Coach Eileen, you know, because she seems to, everyone around her seems to come out with her opinions, but reformed in a much tackier way because they're all crazy people who surround her, you know. And she tells her, well, Kim was demeaning you. And what an evil person. And I guarantee you at some point in this, we'll hear, you were demeaning me, Kim.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, Rinna is clearly going to come back to the set next week and she is going to, you know, crazy Rinna is going to come out and she's going to say some vile, nasty things about Kim. I mean, you know, it's going to come out. This is how Rinna operates. Once she gets like knocked into crazy mode, she just like the evil comes out and it's going to be bad.
Well, I just and really once again, she literally says that. I hope she literally says, that was demeaning, Kim. Because I love when she just comes on and starts copying things, but she doesn't know she's doing it. Like that season with the Munchausens, we were like, these ladies are just talking about shit, turning Lisa in like three circles and pushing her out the door. Like, have fun, darling.
Hey, baby, the ground is diagonal, baby. No, you're just dizzy. But yeah, she's going to say some really nasty things. And then her relationship with Kim is going to go off the rocker again. And Andy is like, I shouldn't have done that. Sure, not. He's going to sit there and smile with that Cheshire Cat grin that he has.
Like so half then, not even paying attention. He's like half excited and half looking at the exit sign. So back on the stage, Dorit's like, well, I understand, Kim Richards. I've been the brunt of Rinna being a mean bitch. And then she turns out to be the victim. And Kim's like, yes, Andy, she's a victim. That's what I was saying. She pretends. And he goes, well, we saw how that worked out because you just made her look like a victim, idiot. And she goes,
well, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm glad that she got hurt because now she can see how I feel.
I'm like, oh, Kim, this is why you never win a fight.
Exactly. So she's like, yeah, I was hurt. I'm like, well, so now you're proving that this was a totally insincere gesture, that you actually still have a grudge. So it wasn't a Kyle who was like, just go and apologize. Go and please apologize.
Kyle,
we need
Kyle's
to bring in Carney Wilson.
And Kyle, who's Kim's coach, is trying to just give her excuses, as she probably has been her whole life. She's like, just go talk to her and explain. Explain that you said that because you're superstitious. And explain that good energy means that you're really superstitious. Because, I mean, you said that before, right? Superstitious? Did Boy George make that song? I love it! No, it was the blind guy. Never mind. Never met him.
It's Stevie Wonder. What is Stevie Wonder about?
So Kyle is like, go say superstitious. Go do it, Kim. And Kim's like, all right. So she gets the bunny and she walks all off like she's in this positive mode. Yes. But now Eileen has coached Rinna into complete negative fighting mode again. And so, and Andy's going, that bunny is so funny to me.
What a fucker.
So Kim and Rinna like meet each other up in the hallway and she goes, hey, Rinna, can me and the bunny talk to you? And she goes, no.
Yeah, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, by the way, I was actually so caught up in the ridiculousness of this, but also in the drama of it, that when it came up next week on the reunion, I was like, what? It's over? I mean, I don't think I've been so caught off guard by the end of an episode in forever. Like, usually you know, it's like, okay, we had a commercial break and now there's 3 minutes left. You know, the end is coming. I thought for sure there was 15 more minutes because I was so caught up in this bunny situation.
Oh, this show. Whenever it's reunions, we think, how are we going to do a whole week of reunions? This is like, we're going to have nothing to say. It's an hour later. My good.
That bunny moment. I'm telling you right now, that is an iconic reunion moment.
And just
all
that it,
Housewives.
Just that it came out Easter week. Like, that's so great.
Yeah.
It's such good timing.
So perfect. So perfect.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. And we will be back next week with the final of the three-part Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. The rest of this week should be really fun. We've got Southern Charm on Friday. Tomorrow, we've got the very last reunion of Vanderpump Rules, darling. And darling. What do we do on Thursdays? Oh, Real Housewives of New York City. Seriously? Like, I can't.
Seriously? Like, literally, I can't. Like, I can't. Like, honestly, I can't. And then we have our live show, everyone. So, again, stay tuned for ticket information. We want everyone to be there. We want to pack the place, and we want people to talk about the legendary lines to get in.
Peck it solid, darling. You guys, we love you. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Yay! Bye. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.